Okay, I'll go ahead and go through these instructions one more time and then we'll get started. My name is Brian. I'll be the moderator today, and my email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. I will check that throughout the hour if you have any questions or problems with the notes. The URL to the notes is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page by either hitting refresh in your browser or star 5 if you're using Internet Explorer. We'll do the same thing. If you haven't already taken the survey, we ask you to do so. You can find a link to that at the top of the notes. Star 4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. Star 6 will mute your line, which is useful if you're in a noisy room. And you can read a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin at the bottom of the notes. And at this time, I would like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin, who will be our primary presenter this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate your help. I know it's a lot of work that you have to do in order to get us up to this point, so thank you. And let's begin. I'm joined by a number of the research staff from marketingexperiments.com. I think it's ponderous to mention all of them, but I think some of the key people that are on the phone that might be of use in a subsequent conversation would be Jalali Hartman, who oversaw a portion of this research, Jimmy Ellis, who also was very active in that. Nick Osborne joined us also, and I don't know if Nick works on our staff, and Nick, I should be able to pronounce your last name correctly. I hope I'm doing it right. But Nick is online and may have insights also, and he worked very closely with the presentation of this research. And of course, Brian's online. Brian, feel free to jump in yourself. I know that you were very involved in these things. Now, I think Aaron, who's in analysis and an expert in pay-per-click, and Jeremy also, who is our senior pay-per-click analyst right now, is on the line also. So from time to time, they may jump in with information or insights to help you. But our topic today is name testing. And I can tell you essentially that our testing has demonstrated that choosing product, service, or domain name based on what seems to be the most attractive can cost you dearly. And we're going to be trying to understand three key principles as we move into this. Number one, the name you give a product, the service, or website can have a significant impact on the number of people who click through from a link to find out more. That's very critical. Number two, regardless of your level of expertise, you will not and cannot identify the name that will generate the most click-throughs unless you test. We've seen this over and over again. And number three, you will find out that often testing a product and the names is just the first step, giving you important insights into the wonder or into the words and phrases that trigger a positive response in your readers. Step two is to apply that learning to your headings, subheads, bullet points, links, and email subject lines. One of the things that we do here at MEC that's rather radical is when we're contemplating a new offering with one of our research partners or ourselves, before we even have the offering, we write the offer page. The offer page forces you to think through the psychological impact of what it is you're presenting. Instinctively, it calls on you to reach down deep and assess the force of your value proposition. That is how intensely it is in its appeal, or how intense its appeal is. And more than that, you'll find when you're connecting in your imagination with your prospective audience, many of the things that sounded so good sitting around the table no longer have the same appeal as you try to cobble them into an offer page. And what I've discovered is that companies can invest a lot of money up front on the development side, then try to write the offer page and discover that the offer they have is not the offer that they need. This begins not just with looking at the list of benefits, but it also goes much further into how you think about, how you talk about, and how you reference the mental handle you give to your product, which is essentially its name. So we're going to get into that, but I encourage you, if you've not already done so, we need you to take a look at the top of your notes and notice the link to the survey, and we want to get your opinion. We have a number of marketing experts online right now, and it would be, in fact, there are several hundred of you, I would imagine, and to get your thoughts on this could be really quite useful. We want you to look and tell us what your instincts tell you. You may well get that right in terms of what the best name is, and I'm interested in seeing how you assess that. So please go ahead and complete that survey, and let's get into the content. So essentially, the question that we have today is, you know, what is the impact, and most importantly, how do we test our way into the best name for a domain or a product? And one of the things that we do so often is we use the search engines as a testing laboratory. They are a splendid way to get real-time, instantaneous feedback. If you came from the world of direct mail, you know how long it can take to discover whether or not your best guesses were accurate. On the internet, however, you can discover it in an hour. And so in this test, we used Google AdWords. And by changing just a single element across a series of otherwise identical ads, we were able to measure the differences in click-through rates and thus the effectiveness of that particular element. It's a simple and expensive way, and it beats spending $50,000 on a professional name test. Very few companies can do it. Most of them that do it don't do it properly. Most of them do it with focus groups. And I would just point out to you that you can actually rely on this Google test more than you can the $50,000 study. And let me tell you why. Because I prefer, and I know I'm a bit radical, but the philosophy of testing is very important to me. And I am always in favor of a test that is focused on actions, not on comments. I have found that when you poll your audience to find out how much they would pay for a given product, the data can be very inconclusive or very misleading. The only way to know how much an audience will pay for a product is to ask them to buy it and then measure it. By the way, you don't know if you have the right pricing on your product until you've asked too much for it and backed down to the number that produces the highest macroeconomic gain for you. So with all of that in mind, this is how we use Google. I'm going to give you a specific test, walk you through it, help you understand, look at the charts, get the data, and then move through some others. The first thing was testing a domain name. And we wanted to identify the best domain name for a computer hardware retailer. After brainstorming a list of 34 potential domain names, we determined that these five had the most potential. And I want to point out for you that we added names to the research partner who was testing with us. They had their own list, and candidly, and this is not probably going to be in the report that we release, but I can tell you that behind the scenes there was something else going on here. They were trying to decide which was the best name, and they were in a deadlock. The director of marketing had one thought, someone else who was on their board had another, or you know, one of their key team members. And they couldn't decide which name was the best. And I mentioned that to you because I've seen over and over again in a number of companies that so much that's decided by speculation, and typically that which wins is that which has the most influence. And the reality is that the player on the team with the most authority, the most influence, often determines which name gets chosen. And no one has any way to cut through the speculation, and it becomes more of a political decision than it becomes a decision of effectiveness. So with all that in mind, we tested five of these names. Here they are: techsavings.com, pcpavilion.com, buytech.com, computerhardwaredepot.com, and computerhardwaredirect.com. Now I can tell you that in this particular case, the person in the room with the most letters behind his name, that is the highest credentialed marketing expert in the room, chose number two, pcpavilion.com. And Brian's going to drop those into your notes. We'll look at the charts in just a moment, but Brian, please go ahead and refresh their notes with those five domain names that we were testing. Now, this group had a number of other sites, but this was a new launch for them, and this is how they approached it. So if you'll look in your notes, it probably should refresh, and you're going to see the table. Now, we want to determine which of these domains best connects with buyer expectations. And to do so, we utilized a feature of Google AdWords that allows you to rotate a number of ad variations. We took each Google AdWords ad, and we made it so that it was identical, other than the domain name, and each had the same copy, the same headline, the same 15 keywords. All five ads had the same maximum per click bid, which was 0.31 or 31 cents per click. In addition to that, all the other elements were the same, and we determined that the ad with the best click-through rate would indicate the best domain name. And this is just standard science. Most of you are familiar with testing, understand. Here's what's fascinating. The name that was being fought for, PCPavilion.com, if you'll look at your notes, scored a measurable CTR of 0.2%. And the name that scored the best was ComputerHardwareDepot.com. Now, you might wonder, I mean, here's the key that you need to understand. ComputerHardwareDepot.com performed the best 0.6, you know, that's pretty high, followed closely by BuyTech.com, which is 0.5. And they need to be retested to tighten those names down. But the 0.6 essentially, and this is the name we suggested, was 300% better than the name which the credentialed marketing expert on the team was fighting so hard for. Now, Brian, this isn't in our notes, and I'm going to surprise you, but I want to go ahead and take it off lecture mode for a moment, and I'd like to ask somebody online to tell me why they think the one name did better than the other. So, Brian, would someone like to comment on why they think ComputerHardwareDepot.com might have scored better? I think many experts would have looked at that name and said it's too long, especially for a domain name. Hard to type.
Very descriptive.
Right.
Descriptive. It's a good point.
This is Bart. Very descriptive.
Excellent.
More specific.
Very specific.
We're used to thinking about Home Depot and Office Depot.
Right. The word Depot has a specific meaning for a lot of people.
Gives a sense of size.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Let me tell you what we think from our experience and. I won't give this a complete answer. I mean, I can't back this up with absolute authoritative research, but I'll tell you why I think it did the best. I think two or three of the comments on the phone right now are among the most accurate. I think the most significant one that we argued before we even tested the name. By the way, we guessed which name would perform best, and we ranked them as a guess. And candidly, all five of these came out exactly where we guessed they would be, with ComputerHardwareDepot.com on top. What we felt was that the word depot had already been defined by the large marketing budgets of places like Office Depot and other Home Depot stores, and it had come to signify. It did not mean this 20 years ago, but today it means major selection, large superstore. And we felt by taking a very descriptive name, combining it with the word depot, we were essentially borrowing Office Depot's marketing budget and trading on what they'd already occupied in the space or the mind of the average consumer. And more importantly, we think it implied the benefit. At least this benefit, if you're looking for the product, it's more likely to be at this Hardware Depot place because it's going to be a massive selection and possibly a lower price. Now, the way I would totally maximize this domain name is I would have the slogan tie in such a way as to answer the other big question on the mind of the consumer, and that is, how expensive is this place? If you tied that in properly, and then you featured, as soon as you came to the site, 5-star ranking on BizRate.com, you just hit the three number one concerns in the mind of the consumer coming to this site: selection, price, and quality of service. So then, this is what we discovered. And what's fascinating here is that personal opinions or intuitions about the best name are often wrong. And there is no substitute, absolutely none, for actual testing. In addition to domain names, you can also successfully use AdWords to help you determine the best names for a new product or service that you're offering. You can test unique value propositions for your overall business by specifying them in the ads and watching what the click-through rate is. Now, I'd like to do a whole conference, and some of my team needs to make a note of this. I'd like to do a whole conference on value propositions because I find myself explaining this over and over again. Most of us think we know what a value proposition, and we do not. A value proposition essentially is the one reason why I should buy from you as opposed to anyone else in the market. Now, I would assume the word I in that statement assumes that I am what you would consider your target market, your customer profile. And if I am your customer profile, you should be the very best solution for me. So many of the businesses out there right now are thriving on pockets of ignorance. The only reason they have a sale is because someone hasn't found there's a better solution out there. That is a pathway to diminishing returns. A value proposition is magical. It almost can't be determined. It's almost discovered. It's a gift. And a good value proposition will make a mediocre team look brilliant. And a bad value proposition will make a brilliant team look mediocre. So then, a great way to determine your value proposition's force, that's a word that we've coined and utilize here when we're doing research. The force of a value proposition has to do with just how appealing it is. And a great way to determine that is to look at the CTR of a specific value proposition as specified in an ad. You can also test your primary sales copy this way. Later, and we've talked about this in other conferences, but you need to know how to word a value proposition. It should not have qualitative words. It should have quantitative words. Qualitative words like best and fast and good have absolutely zero credibility in the market. I want to know how fast. I want to know somebody. If you've got to use a quantitative statement, then you've got to use it by a third party with credibility. Don't make it about yourself. Nobody cares what you say about yourself. We don't trust you. We're tired of being inundated with offers. So let's talk about a more specific problem. This is with Reuters, and with their permission, we're able to share this with you. In this particular case, we were determining the best name for a new product. And we initially tested a broad range of product names through Google. And here we varied the actual title of the Google ad while keeping the body copy, the domain name and keyword bids for the same, you know, ads, all 22 of them. And we can look in our notes. If you'll refresh your notes, you can see essentially, you can see what we discovered in those first 22. As you scroll down, it's fairly long. I'm just kind of moving my notes as well so I can see as I'm speaking. It's a long list, and you can get lost staring at it. But what you need to understand is only this. The result of this test showed that Stock Screener 5.0 generated a 17% improvement in click-through rate. 17%, not over the worst name, but 17% over the second best name. Now, we're gonna later show you what the impact of a small lift like that is in your notes. We're going to look at what the lift of say, 9% will do overall on your budget. But please understand, don't minimize that right now in your thinking. A 17% increase is a huge difference in overall return on investment. And we discovered that and decided that we needed to refine the test even more. So we wanted to figure out why it performed better, and we determined that, number one, the name is highly descriptive, and number two, 5.0 suggests that it is a mature, well-developed software product, that concept of 5.0 instead of 1.0. But we decided to run the test again, this time with a smaller number of names, all of which were based around the existing product name. And here we got some interesting results. Look, please, at the next table that Brian is dropping into your notes by hitting the refresh button. Of course, if you're an explorer, you can do that with F5. I think Mozilla also. Now, again, we could get lost studying this table, but if you study the conversion rate, there's just one key thing you need to recognize. Power Screener 5.0 generated a 6% higher click-through rate than the next best ad title. So here we're looking at the word power screener, but what we're testing and discovering is that 5.0 delivered stronger results than Enterprise, Pro, or Plus. Well, that's fascinating information. And essentially both descriptions included the word let me go back up here. Both these tests indicate that 5.0 placed at the end of the product name was a significant factor contributing to increased click-through. But in our final round of testing, we focused on the actual description of the product. Here, the ads all featured the same headline, second line of copy, URL, and keyword bids, and we varied the first line of ad copy as follows. Brian, go ahead and drop that example in for them in the notes.
Okay.
Headline was data on 25,000 companies. You may want to hit F5 and or refresh, and you should be able to see the next. Is that in there yet, Brian?
That'll be just 1 second.
Give us 1 second. He's dropping it in for you now.
Okay. It should be there if you're fresh.
Now, the headline was data on 25,000 companies. Notice the quantitative headline. Notice how specific that is, not, you know, Internet's largest database of companies. Data on 25,000 companies. And then the labs beneath that were unlimited reports, free sample. By the way, explain, Jalali or whoever would like to jump in, explain the phrase inserted line from below.
I can explain that, Flint. That's actually the line that we had everyone take the survey on. That was the only variable that changed in these ads. Everything else remained the same. So the ads that everyone saw in the survey would go.
All right, so what we're going to do now is let's look at that. We had a choice. This is the test line. And, Ryan, drop in the four. Don't give us the chart yet. Simply drop in the four description lines into our notes. Tell us when that's in, Brian. While he's doing that, let me just make sure everyone's clear. There, it's in now. The cap line, inserted line from below, means that number 1, 2, 3, or 4, which should be in your notes, was dropped in as the second line of this ad. So the headline was data on 25,000 companies. And then underneath it, it said company profile subscription or company profile library or investment profile subscription or investment profile library. And underneath it, it said unlimited reports, free sample, and then it had Reuters domain name chosen for this. So with all of that in mind, we want to see what you think would be the most effective tagline. And we've asked you at the beginning of the conference to weigh in with your thoughts, and let's determine that now, and then we'll look at the test results. So, Brian, are we ready now to drop in a table that reflects what we've learned from the live survey going on?
Yep, it's there.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you to refresh your page, and let's see what our expert audience of marketers chose. All right, so currently the winner is Investment Profile Library at 51.28%. Now, that's a pretty strong winner. There's several hundred of you registered for the conference. This number will be changing constantly, but right now, out of 78 experts, 51.28% have chosen the word Investment Profile Library. The margin is significant. I would say, you know, it's a margin. The closest to that is Company Profile Library, so that all of our audience seems to favor the word library. All right, so, Brian, let's drop in the real results from the actual test.
Okay, they should be there now.
Okay, so let's see which name performed the best. Well, what you need to understand, if you study that carefully, is that investment profile subscription performed better than at 9% better, and it was the leading. It's actually the third choice of our marketing audience, but it was the first choice of our market. It's pretty remarkable. Most of us are glad that it's anonymous. And let me say something to you. If you're on this team and you're not a marketing, let's suppose you're hiring a marketing consultant. Beware of, and there's a lot of marketing consultants online right now, and so I have nothing negative to say about those, and I think the good ones will agree with me. Beware of the man who comes to you because he knows the answer. It's more important to know how to ask the question and how to get the answer than it is to be able to deliver an answer, which you convey to be the best answer. This is because certainty is not a guarantee of truth. I'm talking about an assumed certainty. Confidence does not indicate truth. And I don't know how many times I'm given confident advice and projections by people who haven't tested. You don't know until you test. Now, that applies here at MEC. There are many things that we consider to be likely that do not return the test result we would expect. Our assumptions are constantly challenged, but that's the point of good methodology and good research. So the shocking point here is that as marketing experts, had we not tested this, we would not even have known what we were losing or what we were missing. And candidly, as a group, we miserably failed in determining what's the best name.
Glenn, if I could just interject something here.
Please.
I think this last test, the library versus subscription test, was kind of interesting. And
this is Jalali talking from our staff. Go ahead, Jalali.
Yes, and actually what we've just done here with the audience was one final test on the name. And I think the reason that there's a difference in results, I think there's an important thing to sort of consider here. The click-through, the amount of click-throughs that you get will definitely give you an indication, but you also have to consider sort of the real impact of marketing around a certain name. And
yes.
The word library was something that we came up with here primarily because we could create there's a number of clever ways that we can market it. And so, we're going to take this data that we got from here, where Investment Profile Library was actually the winner, and, take another look at the pay-per-click test, the name test that we did originally, and say, okay, well, what is actually going to be an easier product to market and, start to think about the offer page around it and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to sort of point that out because, even though subscription, sort of won the click-through contest, during this analysis, we felt pretty strongly that the word library would actually be better. We could create we could sell a pass almost the way that we sell a lab pass here at MEC. We could sell a pass around it. It would be much easier to package up. So
now
I think. Anyway, go ahead.
Jalali makes a point that calls for a whole nother conference. But testing within a vacuum produces an accurate result, but not necessarily the best result. The whole context that you test within impacts the decision. If the margin between two names is slightly different, but one is a name that, for instance, you can register the appropriate domain names all around it, it may still be your best choice. There's a number of other factors that impact that, but essentially just looking at what the market clicked through on. And by the way, click through doesn't necessarily tell us what the ROI would be if, in terms of actual offers and purchases. That's another critical metric. But what's simple is that you can really begin to get yourself into the ballpark here with a quick test that can take place sometimes less than a day. And if you think that 9% is an insignificant number, Brian, drop a chart in here, and let's look at what the impact of a 9% difference is, because that's what we had here. With a 9% difference, here's what you see. The monthly search volume, if it's at 4,600,000, with a 9% increase, trace the chart. Understand what it's telling you. Your click-through difference is the difference between 308,000 and 336,000. And if your conversion rate remains consistent at 1.42%, acquisitions will equal 4,777. That's a difference in yield of 394 additional customers that month. Projecting those customers over a year, depending on the average value of a customer, helps you understand the significance of a 9% increase. And you must, let's just look at the chart. Drop in another chart. Drop the one-year projection in for us, please.
There.
All right. If you look at the projection, that's 394. Annual acquisitions equal 4,728. With a lifetime value of a customer at $280, the difference in revenue is $1,323,840. That's worth a one-day test. I think most of us would agree. So, and what we're recognizing, hopefully, at this point, is that you can, you should test the names of both your products and your domains, and you should also begin to realize that it's not as difficult as it might seem to conduct these tests. But if I were in your shoes right now, if I were listening on the other end of the line, I'd be asking myself, okay, so how do I do this right? Because there's more that's gone on here than test data. We've learned something. We've gleaned insights. And I'm going to ask Jalal to help me as we talk through the most important things that we learned in these tests. There's 9 keys, and if time permits me, I'll look at those 9 keys with you in a moment and walk through them. But I'm going to stop. I'm going to take it off lecture mode. I'm going to allow you to ask me some questions. And as I do that, I'm going to ask that when you ask your question, please say your name and then your question. And I will identify you by name so that we can continue. We may be going to an email question format where we talk about the answers on the line soon. I like the interactivity. If we can do it this way, it's good to hear your voices back and forth. So someone go ahead with your questions.
I have a question. My name is Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
It's really on the one where you're inserting the name, the little Google buy. Just that.
Yes.
I think things like that are likely to be, the results are likely to be skewed based on how those names do or don't go well with the lines around them. For instance, you know, it's like a little haiku where you don't want to have any wasted words, and the word companies happens to appear at the end of the first line. So it's not surprising a little bit that needing to say companies again on the next line is not relevant, and the word investing or investment appear nowhere else, so that there's more added value in letting you know this is investment proposition versus some other information about.
Tom, I think your point is good, and I think it points, you know, what we typically do is test each line and test them in combination, and with Google we do it in A-B split format. It also points to one of the problems in multivariate testing. In multivariate testing, so often what happens is you take a group of isolated variables, test them in isolated circumstances, come up with a set of statistical probabilities, and then place them all together in one big ad and think that they're going to perform together as well in combination as they did in isolation. And it's why so often multivariate testing across lost. I'm not against it in entirety, and I'm, you know, I had representatives from Dr. Cowlick and the Taguchi method and all that in my offices yesterday, but I'm just saying that we have to be extremely cautious, for the very reasons that you brought out. You need to look at the context that you're testing in, and Tom, once you get an initial result like we have, then you go back and are able to isolate it, as we did with the first group of words. Reduced down to a second test. There's probably 2 more tests that need to be run to get close. You also have to remember this. I think we better go on lecture mode, Brian. We're having some interference. We also need to consider this, and that is that testing as a general rule is a method. It's a means to an end. It's not the end. And my academic colleagues can get lost in the process of testing and not and realize that all we're trying to do is ascertain a reasonable probability. And if you think of it in a different way, you can spend a lot of time and a lot of money testing things that could keep you from getting a result that's sufficient while you test something more importantly. So, Tom, I hope I've answered your question. Email me if you have further comments or questions. Email editor@marketingservice.com, and that'll get to one of our staff members, and we'll look at it. And I'm going to open the line up for some more questions in a few minutes, but I think we better stay on schedule now, and when we get back, we'll take some more questions, okay? All right, so what did we learn? What can you learn? Here we go. We're going to begin dropping these in your notes. Brian, you can drop each one in automatically when I say the line, the number for the next one, okay?
Okay. Sure.
If you have a strong brand already, now this is very critical. If you have a strong brand already, the test will yield more accurate results if the ads themselves do not have a brand name in the title, the URL, or the copy. Later in phase 2, you can add that to refine. But people see a sense of strong brand name and just click on it. It is an advantage in actual pay-per-click campaigns, but does not work well if you're using pay-per-click to test the name. Have we put Reuters alongside of each of the names of the product? We'd likely have not seen a strong enough differential in the results. That doesn't mean later you don't want to come back and add Reuters' name to the final product name and trade on that brand, as long as you're not violating brand expansion principles, which we've taught in other times. But it does mean, for testing purposes, beware of the dominant influence that a strong brand name can have on your test. Number two, unless you disable this feature, Google will automatically start to serve only the ad that is performing the best, and this will skew the results of your testing. You need to be aware of that. You need to disable that. Number three, you may want to initially test names that are that vary dramatically from each other. As you begin to learn what overall approach works best, then drill down to slight variations in order to arrive at the best name. Typically, testing works in a wide to narrow funnel approach. And at least that's the methodology that I find produces the best results in a marketing environment. A lot of times people bring us variations of a home page to test, and we'll look at the two variations and think to ourselves, well, what did you test before you got to this page? And realize that they did not start with a radical enough difference in designs. So essentially, they're testing against the limitations of their initial design choice. Why constrain yourself? I'll tell you something else. In your culture, at your company, you need to promote, you need to recognize, and you need to foster a healthy environment with radical differences in designs or test elements. A lot of times we hold internal competitions, and they're very friendly because of the collegial atmosphere of our research office. But candidly, the last thing you want to do is promote conformity. Go ahead and take the radical idea and test it. See what happens. Number four. By the way, if you're refreshing in your notes and you're having a hard time keeping up, if you just refresh now, you should have the first three points in there. Be aware that the search term someone uses to find a particular ad may affect the click-through on the ad. For example, if the term stock picks is driving the majority of the test traffic, the name Stock Picker 2000 would naturally be more relevant and likely get more click-through simply because the term they came in on created in their mind or played a certain anticipation factor in their mind so that when they see a headline or a name that reflects the very item they were searching for, they're much more likely to click. Specificity converts, and you want to be aware of that. So monitor your keyword selection closely to ensure the legitimacy of your test results. Number five, start with names that are naturally descriptive, easy to remember, and which indicate the value proposition of the product or service. I've written on the perfect name before. The perfect product name, though, and you can't always get this, but the perfect product name implies the value proposition as well as describes what it is. An example is the long, ponderous name, Marketing Experiments. When we first named that, people thought, why would you give it that name? Because if we'd called it Marketing Test, people would think we were testing products, not marketing itself. But if you'll search inside of Google the word marketing and the word experiments, you'll see that page after page after page, we dominate all the results. We own the term, and when you hear the name Marketing Experiments Journal, you already see an implied value proposition or benefit in the name itself. In a world where there's so much marketing advice out there, here comes a company that's going to test the advice and just tell you what works. A lot of people understand that. That combined with the slogan, Discover What Works, keeps it extremely simple. And Marketing Experiments Journal picked up over 100,000 subscribers its first 12 months. Largely due to the mental ergonomics of its name choice. All right, so, Jalali, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
I think just in terms of a digital product, a lot of times what you're dealing with is it's very difficult to sort of convey what the real value is, and like a subscription or you know, something along those lines. And so I think if you come up with a name, going back to the 5-0 concept, it sort of indicates that there's a real value behind it. It's the same concept as, so say if you have a digital download software product and you put an actual picture of a box, you know, a box software, you know, just I know a lot of you are probably involved with digital products and subscriptions and that kind of thing. If you can just remind them that there's a lot of value in that product, that's something to definitely keep in mind. So.
Excellent. Do you have any thoughts yourself that you would like to add to that, Jimmy, or any one of our other staff? Anything we've covered so far before I hit six or seven?
Yeah, it's Nick here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Nick. Please go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to just reinforce the point you were making about the descriptor, you know, the descriptive nature of a domain name. And this is
yes.
an example I've mentioned to you. It's not part of this brief, but those the two sites that I'm involved with, Excess Voice and Freelance Writing Success. Second one is descriptive, and I've done a test just with those two sites where I have similar content optimized for the same keywords on both sites to the same audience. Then, if I do I then track the traffic that comes through on Google. Excess Voice, which is the older site, will often be listed one or two, and Freelance Writing Success will be maybe four, five, or six because it hasn't been around as long. But when I actually go to my server logs, I get more click-throughs on the number five listing or number six listing with Freelance Writing Success, and I'm sure that is simply because the domain name pre-sells the content.
Precisely. And I don't know if that was clear to everyone, but
so you can beat Google. You can not beat Google, but you can get people to click on number five listing instead of a number one listing, if you have value and description within your domain name.
Precisely. Exactly. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. All right. Well, number six. Consider the marketing value of the name when interpreting the initial test results. If during the pay-per-click test one name receives a higher click-through, then one would naturally assume that it's the best name for the product. However, make sure also to think about the offer page that will sell each product. Always plug it back into the initial offer page. As I said at the beginning of this conference, I write the offer page before I have the product. I start with the offer page. The offer page forces me to feel the market in advance, and that's a critical piece. Consider, this is number seven, following the initial name test with a split test using actual landing pages for each name, or test the product name as part of a multivariate test on your website. If you want to know more about that, there are things in our notes that, you know, there are other, tell me the link number right now for that, Brian, the report on.
That's number two, but it's also right there in the number seven.
Okay, you see the link in your notes. You can click there and read our prior reports on that. All right, so number eight. Investigate whether the domain name for your desired name is available and consider how it will rank in the natural search engines. Now, that's very critical. A useful tool for simultaneously brainstorming names and checking their availability is namefuse.com. And you'll see that if you refresh, or it's in your notes now, 8 and 9. So that's a critical piece. And it's very critical that you think through how the name will be picked up in the natural search engines, and one of the most important things to do is to search the names themselves. You also may find a good way to locate your name, and this, I know this is radical, but go to your competitor sites, view their source code, look at their header tags, look at their meta tags and descriptions, and consider lifting from their meta tags an appropriate name, because often the descriptions in their meta tags will suggest to you a good name and help you to dominate the very niche that they're utilizing in the engines itself. Beautiful thing about the internet is you can take the same product, name it three different ways to appeal to three different audiences, use the same customer service, the same fulfillment, the same back end, create three separate offer pages, and literally triple your revenue, all operating off the same back end. So you can't do that in the offline world. And so don't even think that you must stay with one name. If I were trying to take any one of these products, let's take the computer products. I would ask myself who my top three dominant channels are, what my top three markets are, profile customer-wise, and I might even include, at least either in the slogan or in the domain name, a name that appeals precisely to the demographic audience, which represents a third of my market. Same product, same back-end, same store serving that back-end or e-commerce system, but the offer page, the domain name, and the product name feel customized for that audience. When you do that, you'll find conversion goes dramatically because people click through more likely when your offer is specific to the thought that is in their mind when they're searching at that time. So testing names shouldn't be a matter of determining, first of all, the only one true name, but it may give you a battery of insights and a list of quality names that you can utilize in other ways in order to support your product in other channels. This is really true of subscription offerings and digital offerings, but it also applies to other parts of the market. If I had a battery site, I wouldn't just have batteries. I'd focus the battery site on individual niches. On the other hand, if I had a search engine or a site that appealed to people doing background checks, I'd customize that site to five or six different separate channels, and it would look like it is the ipso de facto source in each one of those channels, and I'd optimize everything around it. All right. Having said all of that, number nine is there. You can read it's in your notes. Utilizing this Google AdWords name testing technique and keeping in mind the above guidelines, you can select names for your products and domains that will yield the greatest traffic and sales performance. And the wonderful thing is you don't need to spend a fortune or several months to get there. So with that as a more or less summary of some of our findings, let's do this. Let's take it off lecture mode. But before we do, please listen right now and see if you've got background noise on your own phone, if there's any clicks or noise, and be prepared for as a courtesy to mute your line when we go off lecture mode by hitting star 6. That way, you're not going to interfere with those that are talking. So check your lines. We're going to take it off lecture mode, identify your name and your question, and we'll try to drill down and see if we can help you. Now, may I say one more thing? Think about these questions. Let's get some smart questions, and let's devote the time we have remaining to truly help you. And you got a whole group of researchers on here, and you know this is your chance to get to the answer. So with that in mind, let's take it off lecture mode, Brian. You may know we have some, there we go, somebody muted it. Good for you. All right, it's back. Lovely music playing in the background. We want you to know we're not going to charge anything extra for that. That's a plus. Special service of the MEC conference. Okay. Brian, put it on lecture mode. All right, so then do this. Quickly, email your questions to Brian, go ahead and give me your address.
Sure, it's editor@marketingexperiments.com. I'll check that, and then I'll go ahead and read the questions.
Yeah, and if we run out of time with that, we will, of course, answer your questions afterwards. We want to help you the best we can. But I invite you to email your questions to editor@marketingexperiments.com. Manually force those out of your box so they hit us rapidly, and Brian will manually check that rapidly. We're working on a system that will simplify this process, but let's do the very best we can today to make sure we're helping as many of you as possible. So fire your questions away, and we'll answer them if necessary. Some of them we'll try to answer even after this conference is over. While that's happening, let's try one more time to take it off lecture mode and see if that background noise is gone. All right, put it. Very good.
Okay,
all right.
Here's one question, Flint. Do you need to register all those domains that you are testing?
Interesting. I'll let one of my staff members answer that because the rules have actually changed at Google. Go ahead.
The way that we did this is you do need to, the domain name that you display, I believe, needs to match the domain name that you're sending the people to. And so what we did, because we didn't want to use the brand name in the domain name. We actually just registered one domain name, and we put a generic landing page up that just indicated that they were part of a test. So it's sort of one generic page that served as a landing page for all the different tests we did.
Did you register each domain, Jolly?
In terms of the different names we were testing?
The domain names.
If I could interject 1 minute, I could probably clear this up. Diwali is referring to the test the domain name test. It was actually the naming test in the ad copy. As far as the domain name test goes, that original test was run before Google monitored such things. Right now, Google does monitor if the domain name is registered to you, and it does so by actually clicking on your ad, and if it doesn't end up on a website using that domain name, it is not acceptable. If the domain name redirects, it is also not acceptable. So to run this test properly, you do have to own those domain names.
Now, let me point out for you, that's minor, very minor cost, less than the cost of your pay-per-click. Register the domain names, but also, I don't know if Cliff is on the phone, that was Aaron speaking, who's a pay-per-click expert. But beyond that, let me just point out that there is a simple IP tool that will allow you to automatically and instantly point domain names and change them so you don't have to wait for propagation. And if you want to find out about that, email us and we'll send you a link to that tool. Brian, do you have another question?
Sure. If you're testing names for a product that hasn't launched yet, where do you send the traffic to from the pay-per-click ads? In other words, when I click on an ad, what kind of landing page do I see when a product is non-existent?
Typically, you can tell them, you can thank them for attending, or thank them for visiting, let them know that the product is in the final stages of development or something of that nature, if it really is, and then ask them to sign up with an email address to be notified as soon as the product is ready. Then you get to test something beyond the name. You're actually testing how many people are willing to take the extra action of leaving their domain name. Also, you're helping to mitigate the cost of the test because you end up with a hot list of prospects who've taken the time to give you their email address and while they're waiting for the product to go live. If it's worded properly, the aggravation is minimal, and you get data, and you do it at a minimum effort. So, good question. Do you have any other questions at this point? We're going to have to drop this to a close real quickly. But any other questions, Brian?
I've got a couple more if we have time.
Okay, go ahead.
This one's from Adam. He says, for my search terms, I can't seem to buy more than 100 to 300 clicks per day on Google for my keywords, which are fine jewelry, gemstone jewelry, and related terms. Is it still possible to test effectively without a lot of traffic?
I think that's one I should answer. The amount of traffic that you need is relative to the amount of risk that's involved. And to some degree, it's relative to a number of things, but to some degree. And it seems to me, now is he saying he's getting 300 click-throughs or 300 visits, Brian? 300 exposures or click-throughs?
300 clicks per day, 100 to 300 clicks per day.
Yeah, that's fine. Run it for 3 days and get 1,000. You've got a good subset. Yeah, I mean, 1,000 clicks ought to tell you a lot. Now, that doesn't mean that 10,000 won't tell you more, but, you know, all you're trying to do is establish a probability.
One thing you can do if you're not getting a lot of traffic is you can try to pare down the list of names ahead of time, because essentially that 1,000 clicks would be broken across, you know, if you had 20 different names you were testing, would be broken across.
Absolutely, yeah. That's right. In other words, you know, you'll get a higher subset if you test less variables. And so keep that in mind. Brian, last question.
Okay. Have .com alternatives such as .net proven to yield lower response because they are not .coms? Or are they a viable alternative that can succeed if given an effective targeted domain name?
Nick, you want to answer that?
Well, I think if in pay-per-click, and Aaron can tell me if I'm wrong, I don't imagine it would make a huge amount of difference. But in terms of general, again, if there's a list of names on a natural search, and there's a .com and a .net side by side, I think generally the online community feels more, a greater level of comfort and familiarity with .com.
I think
the part that I would add to that is the problem with buying a .net or a .biz is even though they might perform well on the pay-per-clicks, your return customers are going to, just out of habit, out of familiarity, go to the .com of your variation of domain name rather than the .net or .biz or whatever yours is, and therefore you're going to lose them or confuse them by them ending up on a different site.
If you don't own the .com, it's a bad name. Don't take your time to promote that. You'll end up losing a significant amount of business that you should be retaining. That's a very good point, both what Nick says and what Aaron is saying. Take it off lecture mode one last time here before we close, Brian. Some of you may have questions, more questions for us. We want to do our best to try and help you. Email us. We can explain to you how we do these. You know, try to do our very best to help you at the email addresses that we've already given you. But let's get some feedback. I'd love to hear from you. In the last conferences, I've been getting some very good feedback. Is this information helping you? Some of you can answer me on the phone, and also if you'd send us email about how it can help you. We pay a lot of attention to that, and even that's why we don't immediately publish. We listen to your feedback and to this conference to modify the final report before we release it again. So talk to me for a moment. Have you found this to be helpful?
Yes.
Well, I'll take that as a very positive
comment. No, this is totally helpful. All the stuff you're putting on the site is amazing, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and you, it's incredible. The information is all available for free, what you're posting, and the research you've done is super full of insights.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Very much.
Excellent. Yes, there's a lot of people talking at once, and you know, if you've got thoughts, let me invite you to email us with your thoughts, also ways we can improve this before we release it. I want to hear from you. And in the meantime, I'm just grateful for your trust, and we'll do our very best. We've got some very interesting topics coming up. We're in the midst of a number of experiments, so stand by for more information on that. We're also, again, getting closer to the new site. We'll have improved navigation and all that goes with that. So thank you. We'll keep working. And I look forward to talking to you in about 2 more weeks. And watch for the new journal issue.
Thank you.
Okay.